Back to Psalms 95. Psalms 95. Let us read that one more time. 95, 1 through 11. Reads like this. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. And the deep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. My lesson tonight is not just about worship. It's about spiritual worship. There's 5 points or 5 lessons we learn from these passages. A critical danger that happens to most Christians is approaching the worship of God by routine. We've seen that. We go through the motions of worship, but our minds are not fully engaged. With our hearts not involved, worship becomes a drudgery. We understand that by our understanding that this is not right. But we wonder how do we get our minds past this and start feeling worship by our hearts. I know of no passage of God's word where God promises to overwhelm the worshiper with feelings and a passion for worship. The joy of worship must come from within the heart and soul of God's servant. Too often people approach the problem of worship from the external part. John Hagee Cornerstone is a prime example. All the buildings are large and with some type of brick, stone, or ceramic. At the Learning Center for the Young Children, Noah's Ark was a theme and focal point. In the company I worked for, we received the floor and the wall bid. Noah's Ark centered in the hall made with ceramic walls and with mechanical animals and a zebra's head that would go all the way up to the second floor. You see what happens when the kids get tired of the same old thing. What happens when the paint starts to wear? Mechanical parts start to wear and tired of going around them. You see, this Noah's Ark is right in the middle of the hall. So it's so large that anytime you go in, you have to go around it. The emphasis is all physical. And everything is for show. But God is a spirit. John 4:21-24 says, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Notice that God is seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and truth. The emphasis is on pleasing men and not on pleasing God. Galatians 1:10. And that says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if ye yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." See that by placing the wrong emphasis, we cease to be servants of God. Now comes the question, what is worship? Too many Christians only come Sunday morning to worship. They worship their work, money, their family. True worship of God doesn't happen without effort on our part. Worship is an active response to God whereby we declare His worth. The word worship is a modification of an older word, worship, W-O-R-T-H-S-H-I-P. Worship means to attribute worth to something or someone. A person must work to engage his mind in worship. The approach to worship. Effort to come together not just Sunday morning. Psalms 95:1-2, which is read, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." We don't attribute worth to a God when we only worship at our convenience or because we didn't have something more pressing. Even gathering in a location is not enough. 1 Corinthians 11:17. Says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse." The Corinthians assembled, but in mind, were divided. 1 Corinthians 11:18. "For first of all, when ye come together in a church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." Their division was evident in their iniquity of partaking of the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11:21. Coming together and joining together in one heart and mind. The Lord's Supper is a sharing of the memory of Jesus' death. 1 Corinthians 10:16-11. The church is one body. 1 Corinthians 12:12. That says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." There should be no division in the body. 1 Corinthians 12:25-27. "There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in one particular." In that unity, one body, we are made complete. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." We are to take a reverent attitude. In our minds, we must reflect how great and awesome our God is. Consider our Savior Jesus Christ, Colossians 1:11-18. And it says, "Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And for he is also all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and all the things he might have the preeminence. So we can see how great and how awesome our God is. The Corinthians did not have Jesus as first place in their hearts when they gathered. They treated their worship of God as a common meal. 1 Corinthians 11, 22, 33 through 34. The all of God we come before was missing. Romans 11, 33, 36. Acknowledging the might of God means humbling ourselves before him. Psalms 95, 6. God wants us in submission to him. James 4, 5 through 10. God requires that we walk with him humbly. Micah 6, 6 through 8. God dwells far above us, but also with a humble spirit. Isaiah 57, 15. The sacrifice to God is a contrite heart. Psalms 51, 17. Worship of God is taking a personal relationship with him. Psalms 95, 7. We must draw near to God as James instructs us. We should not have a distant, arm's length relationship with God. As insignificant as we are, and as undeserving as we are, God has come to us. Psalms 8, 4 through 6. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. Hebrews 2, 11 through 10. For those of us that earnestly seek God, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Hebrews 11, 16. We are God's people. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Worship means obedience to our God. Psalms 95, 7 through 11. We do not want to be like the Israelites who displeased God. Hebrews 3, 12 and 4 and 2. We must apply effort to do so. Hebrews 4, 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The greatest show of worth of our God is when we are obedient to him. 1 Samuel 15, 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Lastly, that today is an opportunity to obey our great Lord. Bring him the worship of your heart within your heart. Give him obedience, service, obedient faith, labor, and work for the Lord, knowing our work and labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 11, 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, brothers and sisters, it is not just to come to worship, but we must come to worship with a spiritual heart. And now, in conclusion, now is the time to become a Christian today. If you believe in Jesus and want to receive the remission of your sins, repent and be baptized to wash away your sins. Now is the time. As we stand and sing the song of invitation.